This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance, and it's a changing world and a daily changing sports scene at the minute. And it's nice now to go and get the Scottish Premiership perspective on what is going on. We've been talking so much about our Premier League and the EFL, but what is happening with Celtic and in that quest for nine titles in a row, and a potential quadruple treble. Neil Lennon has had his say, but you can have your say tonight by tweeting us at Love Sport Radio or calling us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number because the fan shows are still here, even though the football is off. And one man who joins us, and he joins us every week, it is John McGinley from the Grad Old Podcast. John, before we get into what is a changing sporting landscape, firstly, how are you and how's it going in Scotland?
You know, I'm fine at the moment. You know, as we've been hearing from health experts and our politicians over the last couple of days, you know, it seems that much of the outbreak has been in London, and you know, there are cases up here, but it's not as pronounced, I would suggest, as down there. So I know I'm coping fine. I'm not in self-isolation yet or anything like that. So we're just kind of trying to get on with our lives and trying to make sense of it all in a wide array of different, you know, spheres, you know, from football to business to our jobs. You know, it's an anxious time for everyone. So making sense of it and speaking to other people about it like yourself, Charlie, is maybe a good way to do that. You know, you get a bit of clarity just from conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe, you know, I'm doing these fan shows, I'm at the fore of that. We've speaking to so many different people on Love Sport all across the country and in Scotland, different regions, just how it's affecting people's livelihoods. Getting to speak to you, John, you know, podcasters and bloggers and then media journalists are saying how it's affected them. No access to the certain clubs that they cover, and obviously they can't talk to the players who are in isolation as well, and just not only health and safety at risk, but the economy as well, people's jobs on the line as well. All change at the minute, John, but I'm glad to know that currently, as it stands at the minute, not only are you well, but you're not out and you're not panic buying or bulk buying toilet roll.
Absolutely not. I'm not doing that at all, thankfully. You know, actually, the shops up here haven't been too bad in my area, so I'm quite thankful that, you know, the shelves aren't bare yet, and, you know, the food bank donation boxes are full, so it's actually quite positive up here at the moment, so I'm feeling good about that, certainly.
Yeah. Feeling good, John. Well, it is an unprecedented, an unusual week, one that's constantly changing. I write down notes, John, and then they become very old very quickly. But how would a Scottish FA react into this news, John?
So it's been, as you can imagine, it's thrown the football governance of Scottish football into a slightly chaotic situation. The SFA and the SPFL are working together and have, you know, crisis meetings. I think they had one yesterday and they would have had one on the back of today's video conference call with UEFA. You know, there was a suggestion they might take UEFA's lead on what might happen, but, you know, that seems to only be the case in the sense of the SFA's view on international football. We had a playoff scheduled with Israel later this month, which obviously won't go ahead now. And in terms of domestic football, that's still to be decided by the SPFL, which is made up of the member clubs, and the SFA. And we don't really have much more clarity at the moment in terms of, you know, official word from these organisations. But it's rapidly looking like up here that the season won't be declared null and void, and there will be some clarity in the sense of the final positions in the Scottish Premiership table, despite, you know, some clubs not being particularly happy with that. it seems to be leaning towards that direction at the moment.
Yeah, and John, you mentioned not much clarity at the minute. I think none of us have that when it comes to not just football, but in all sports. A lot of events every day now being cancelled or postponed, suspended. The domino effect still continuing. We know in the English Premier League and obviously the EFL, they have a meeting tomorrow, the EFL, and the Premier League meeting is Thursday. What about Scotland? Because we're hearing about a potential vote as well for clubs having their say on whether the season should be deemed null and void or it should be concluded.
Yeah, I mean, this needs to be wrapped up quite quickly, I suggest, for Scottish clubs. The situation up here is that, you know, the revenue of a lot of these clubs is primarily based on attendance and people paying through the turnstiles and not on TV money. And there's a sense that if the season is decided and the place isn't at a final, that the SPFL can pay out the final prize money from the league and help some of these clubs over the next few months who won't, like, in all likelihood, won't have any fans coming through the door. The situation at the moment appears to be that they're still kind of playing up a year at the moment. There was an agreement with UEFA amongst member associations that there'd be a commitment to try and end the season before the 30th of June. But that seems incredibly unlikely. So the SPFL and SFA need to get together urgently and talk in the next couple of days to really figure out what's going on here, because they need to bring clarity to clubs who could suffer financially as a result of this. And that doesn't really apply to Celtic per se, but there are clubs up here who could struggle without fans going through the door. So that money needs paid out, and there needs to be, everyone just needs to know what the situation is, and then we can deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, and John, genuinely, I mean this, because we're doing all the fan shows on Love Sport Radio, but for me, the one of real interest is Celtic, to get that Scottish perspective, because it's something that me and you have spoken about at length when I asked you, you know, often when we see Celtic play away games, all of their fans are in the stadium, and you told me this is normal in Scotland for Celtic and Rangers, really, because, you know, it really helps with the gate income for these clubs. And maybe we're all asking the wrong questions here, John. We're looking, when will football be back? When can we go to a game? What are we doing on the weekends? But it's the clubs that you mentioned, not so much the Celtics of this world, but clubs who really survive on that income, and they're losing a lot of gate money here, aren't they?
Yeah, and that is why it's so urgent that everyone just needs to know the situation that they're in, so they can take the steps and the means necessary. There was a report in the Daily Record that suggested the SFA will look for some sort of government fund that might be available to teams outside of the English Premier League. How that plays out, we don't know. But that would certainly go a long way to helping some of these clubs. If football is really off for the summer, then it's a tricky time. It's a tricky time for high-profile clubs that you would know in the Scottish Premiership. You know, I mean, I wouldn't like to name it because I don't want to go into the individual situations of clubs, but high-profile clubs in the Scottish Premiership would struggle. So the SPFL need to take lead. There needs to be a little bit of leadership on this, I think. And at the moment, it's still all a bit up in the air. And that's a little bit worrying.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think no one's got that clarity that you mentioned, and no one really can have an opinion on it. None of us are experts. No one knows where this is going to end. And everyone's kind of waiting, really, behind the eight ball, because no one knows what they can do, what the next steps are to help everyone in this situation. And we talk about, obviously, this really tricky position that we all find ourselves in, but none more so for Celtic, chasing 9 titles in a row, chasing the quadruple treble, John. Unbelievable. Already won that League Cup. They want to win this league title. They want to carry on in the Cup as well. No one wants it deemed null and voided more than Celtic right now, and they want to play this out, as did Neil Lennon say this.
Yeah, I mean, the preference would be, you know, if the health guidance is available and, you know, the government sign off on it, that the season somehow finishes in some way. But if that doesn't happen, you know, there is only, for me, one logical situation, and it is that the final places are decided as they sit right now. And I would say that as in the Premier League as well. It's a harsh reality of it, and you would need to take into account relegation and what that means for teams in the lower league too. But in terms of the prizes given out at the top of the table, for me, and, you know, the teams qualifying for Europe next season, you know, providing there is UEFA competition next season, you know, that needs to be the teams that are in those spots currently for me. And that's Celtic first at the moment, Rangers second. So that's just the way it's got to be. If it was the opposite way around, and I know this sounds perhaps a little bit disingenuous, but hand on heart, if it was the other way around, I would say the same thing. Because I just think that for me is the most logical way to reward all the hard work that's already gone into the season for every team.
Yeah, and that's what Neil Lennon said. He actually said Celtic should be champions if the season cannot be completed. You know, Celtic, who are a side 13 points clear at the top of the league. Neil Lennon describing that situation as a nightmare, saying if it was to stop now, I would doubt very much that they would say it was null and void. It would be death by a thousand cuts. We've played over 30 games. That's well over two-thirds of a season, so we should be declared champions. If you're talking about the Armageddon of the league being cancelled or stop, it should go on the average points total, which would make us clear champions, and rightly so. And there is argument to that, and Liverpool are having that in the English Premier League themselves. Mm-hmm. But already we've seen out of the woodwork, John, many people saying, mainly ex-Rangers players or pros, saying that, you know, it would be an asterisk on this league win, and it shouldn't happen because mathematically it is not over. Rangers still have a game in hand, still to play each other. So how would they be allowed to do this?
To me, it just doesn't hold much water, that argument, because I think a lot of these pundits would acknowledge, and you know, a lot of them probably have said that the league was effectively over in the weeks running up to this postponement. And it's not a situation here where Celtic and Rangers are divided by goal difference alone. You know, there's Rangers came off the rails and Celtic were clear ahead and were on their way to winning the title. And so for me, it just doesn't make sense logically, you know, at all for that to be somehow that they're somehow on level footing now. There's null and void, there's an asterisk and all this. Mm. Realistically, it was never going to happen. Common sense needs to prevail here. And the pundits are just looking out for Rangers. I understand that. They're looking out for Rangers' interest. They're trying to represent the voice of Rangers fans. But, you know, for me, I think every fan in the country would accept that the way the standings sit at the moment is the way that it should continue. And, you know, my mind's not going to be changed in that, you know, regardless of who's first, second, third and fourth. I mean, that's just the way I look at it pragmatically. That's what has to happen.
So do you think that, John, your decision, if you were in charge, would be, mm-hmm. you know, they're crowned champions now, no point playing the games and just wait for next season to start or conclude the games maybe behind closed doors? What is your final opinion? What is the solution? And ultimately, on that solution, you know, you can't please everyone. It is a very messy mm-hmm. situation.
If the situation is that prize money, etc., can only be paid out if the season has ended right now, and if that helps the other clubs in the Scottish top flight, then I would end the season now with Celtic as champions and with the other teams in the European spots, and, you know, try and plead with UEFA to let us have as many group stage places in next season's competition as possible. I think that's the best way forward for Scottish football. I think it gives everyone clarity. There is a suggestion, you know, that the games could be played in the summer with a Euro 2020 move. For me, it doesn't seem realistic at the moment. All the guidance seems to suggest that this is going to last much longer in terms of, you know, no large crowds or not even, you know, small gatherings that would allow a football match to happen. So for me, I think for clarity's sake, I think the SPFL need to take the decision, you know, this week, if possible, or that if they say that the league is finished, then it should be finished.
Yeah, John, it's such a tricky one. We're waiting for that mm-hmm. clarity, as you said. So much more to ask you, and you can ask as well tonight, me or John. John is staying around because the Celtic show still has 15 minutes, but there are more than 15 questions we have to go. Love Sport. You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio, joined with my co-host, John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. And you can join me and John tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We know you're out there. Have your say. You're staying in. Are you on lockdown at the minute? You've got your feet up. You're listening. Well, join us at Love Sport Radio because we're still here and you can have your say. You can join in with the show tonight. John, I really wanted to talk about, if we do come back to the season, what Celtic side could we see? Could we see an improved side from that break, you know, a little bit of time off, a lot of games played in Europe, attacking on all fronts? Or could we actually see maybe this break has hindered Celtic? Because we were talking about a side coming back from that winter break who were absolutely on blistering form, on a tear. You know, the stats, John, I don't need to rule them off. Every week there was something else that they were just going on to do.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a situation that Lennon did talk about, you know, over the weekend as well, and he'd given the players off until Monday. They were due back in training today, and then they were going to decide a way forward there. It is a tricky one because, as Lennon said, you can't really take the players away in a training camp. It's difficult to maintain their fitness levels, and you know, some of these players may have to enter self-isolation themselves. So how you manage all that, you know, as a coaching staff is unprecedented, really. And there will be a challenge for Lennon and his team over the next few weeks and potentially months to figure out a way to keep these players at their peak fitness and, you know, as their status as peak athletes. So how that plays out would be fascinating to see. For me, I think the professionalism at Celtic is strong enough for us to hit the ground running whenever the football does return again, whenever that may be. I would expect that from Celtic, and I would expect us to be as prepared or better prepared than any other team in the country. So I don't have many qualms about that. You know, the way that plays out, I think Celtic will be ready to go. And I think with, you know, the lack of matches, I think the rest does Celtic good, because we play as many, you know, more games than anyone, you know, in Scottish football. Rangers that matched us this year because they went so far in Europe. But we started our qualifiers in, you know, July last year and played right through until the postponement of matches, more than 50 matches, more than 60 matches a season. So any rest Celtic can have could be a benefit in terms of form. And I think we'll be well prepared when the eventuality comes.
Yeah, and John, you know, don't want to be over the top, but we were talking about a Celtic side who potentially this season were on the verge of another very, very special season. And if it is deemed null and void, do those records and memories go away? You know, a little asterisk on this season, because we were talking about those stats that we mentioned in that first half, Edouard, his goal contributions, all the players, Griffiths, McGregor, and just Forrest, what they were doing, especially Edouard, though, the season that he was having. And do those, you know, if the season it goes away, so do those goals. Where does he stand in Celtic all time? And kind of the legacies, really. And they're a little bit maybe potentially tarnished from this, John.
I think that's why, you know, the clubs need to protect that. And every club needs to do that. You know, the achievements of the players that every club, the individual records, they're not going to disappear from you. I think they will be claimed. And, you know, a player, you know, I will live in the memory that a player like Edouard, you know, emerged so brightly this season. And, you know, it will be noted that Lee Griffiths made an outstanding comeback. It'll be noted that Callum McGregor played so consistently and so well for us. It'll be noted that Christopher Julian was a great signing. So I think, you know, I think in terms of short-term legacy, I think this isn't going to have much of an impact. I mean, I think the in terms of long-term legacy, in terms of league titles and stuff, you know, that's for the governing bodies to decide, and it's for us as fans to accept. So, yeah, interesting few months. But for me, I think the achievements of the players and the way the players have played, I think fans will remember that heading into next season. I don't think anyone will forget anytime soon.
Yeah, and also, John, I suppose what is a little bit up in the air as well is obviously we know the Euros, they were postponed till 2021 today, so they do have this summer gap now to maybe conclude those domestic seasons. But on that, what about the transfer window? There's been no word on the summer transfer window. Would that be open whilst the players are playing? Well, I mean, even playing for their current teams, maybe a few of those players, their contracts expire on June the 1st. We just don't know how that landscape would look, John.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a myth from Celtic in recent days, you know, that they're going to have a chat with clubs like Southampton. We've got Fraser Forster on loan. Mm. We've got Mohamed El-Younissi on loan. Two players have been important for us this season, especially Forster. So if there is the ability to play matches in the summer, then we need to figure out what the deal is with those contracts and international transfer windows and, you know, contracts and wages and all this. So, you know, it, just on the behind-the-scenes action at Celtic is probably pretty chaotic right now. Behind the scenes at every club will be pretty chaotic now, as everyone searches for the rule books and the regulations and communicates with each other about how to get through this together. And I think there needs to be some sort of cooperation between all the countries and all the clubs in the different countries for the best way forward for football. You know, I don't think we can't come out of this situation where one club is more advantaged than the other. It needs to be dealt with uniformly, I think, and certainly in the sense of transfers and, you know, European places and such. This all needs to be dealt with fairly, because, you know, no club wants to benefit from this situation, you know, because it's just been
There's no fair option now, is there, John?
No. Yeah, I know, and some clubs will lose out based on where they were, and some players may lose out because, you know, they would have wanted the opportunity to shine on loan, and, you know, perhaps transfer fees will dip at all. But the thing is, it'll be, you know, I think that'll be continent-wide, and I think that the clubs and associations need to work together to find the best way forward and set the guidelines that clubs can work to. And then we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you would have seen this week, John, comments from Darren Fletcher on BBC Radio 5 Live saying that actually, you know, UEFA, they won't want to be playing second fiddle to teams finishing their domestic season. They'll want to play, obviously, the Champions League, the Europa League. We know Celtic aren't in those this season now. But he's saying actually this could help UEFA maybe push into that European Super League and break away into that that has really always been kind of around, but it's never really faded away fully. Mm-hmm. What do you make of a European Super League, because the Celtic from Scotland would be a part of that conversation?
I mean, I'm a little bit of a traditionalist when it comes to football. I do enjoy local rivalries, whether it's Motherwell or, you know, Dundee United, or they're not in the top flight at the moment. You know, different teams out in Scotland I like playing. I like playing Aberdeen. I like playing Hearts. For me, it would lose something if Celtic were playing Feyenoord every second week. So, for me, I'm not that in favour of it. Reconstruction is an option, though, and that's been talked about in Scotland as well. There's been some pundits suggesting that next season's Scottish Premiership should be 14 teams to stop relegation from happening. So this is all up in the air, and it could fall down in a very different landscape from what we're used to. And the situation with the Europe is incredibly, you know, interesting too. There's reports up here that the Scottish FA are looking to lobby UEFA for Scottish teams to go directly into the group stages of the Champions League or Europa League, and that'd be very interesting to see too, because it would mean Celtic and Rangers wouldn't have to navigate a difficult qualifying process, which is a game changer for those two clubs. If there's no room to play the qualifiers, who goes into the group stages? And that's another question for these people that they have to figure out.
Yeah, it's another question that needs another answer. John, we know that the players obviously will be back in training soon, and you know they've had their little bit period of time away. But really the bigger question is, if you've been self-isolating, no symptoms, you know, just as a purely a precaution, but then you come into action, you come into contact with someone who has got the symptoms, even if you've had that self-isolation period, then you could get it again. Do the players have to go back into self-isolation? It becomes quite a dangerous web and a circle, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that seems to be to do with the testing, isn't it? If you don't know they have it, how do you know that you're not going to get it in the future? It seems to be that, and that's for all of us, Charlie. That's for me and you and everyone. You know, if you don't have it and you've self-isolated and then you get symptoms again, what do you do? And that guidance is going to come from the very, very top, I think. So we'll need to look out for that for the players. It's an especially difficult situation because they've got physical jobs that depends on their physical health and their well-being. So that just adds an extra element for that at Lennoxdown. And be interesting to see what the clubs say this week, if they're going to come out with, you know, clarity for fans about how they're going to deal with training and all that. I would quite like to hear that. I would quite like some open communication from Celtic. It's sometimes not their style, but we'll see how that plays out too. I would love to hear more from them on all this.
Yeah, John, it's really good to get your thoughts on it, just because, like I said, it's so good to know what the Scottish FA and what is happening in the Scottish Premiership, because maybe eyes down here on the EFL and on the Premier League, but good to know what is going on there. You and Manus always in the know. John, really, more importantly, glad you're well and glad you joined us tonight, as you always do. John McGinley there from the Grand Old Podcast. Always good to get John on, not only because he gives us maybe an insight we didn't have into knowledge we didn't have what is going on in Scotland, but that is what Love Sport Radio does. Voice all over Britain, wherever you are, and you can join us and you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Enough to make your heart grow sad. God bless them, we don't care if we win, lose or draw. Darn the hair, we care, because we only know that there's going to be a show, and the Glasgow Celtic will be there.
This is Love Sport.